Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Sorry, Romans chapter 15, rather. Last week we started our series called The Principle of the Path. And we started speaking about that. And I hope that what we've learned from it, from last week, is obviously that your direction, the direction that you take and not your intention, determines your destination. So it's the direction that I take, the path that I choose for my life, the path that I choose for my marriage, or for my spiritual life, not my intentions, not my hopes, not my dreams, not my desires, the path that I choose, the direction that I choose will determine my destination. We spoke about the fact that if I get into my car and I pack my picnic basket and I pack my umbrella and my sunscreen and my surfboard and I head down the N1 towards Worcester, I'm not going to end up in Camps Bay. It's not going to happen. No matter how much I've prayed about it, no matter how long I've been a Christian, no matter how many church services I attend on a Sunday, you're simply not going to end up in Camps Bay, if you head down the N1 towards Worcester. It's not going to happen for you. Now, we seem to know that in the world of geography when it comes to driving and hiking, but when it comes to other areas in our lives, there seems to be a disconnect with that principle. When it comes to other areas in our lives, we somehow think that, listen, I have this intention, and then I take this path down here, and then somehow, miraculously, I'm going to end up here. And it's somehow there's something that we don't understand. We keep on hoping, we keep on dreaming, we keep on desiring, this is what I want for my family, this is what I want for my kids, this is what I want for my life, this is what I want for my future, for my career, for my spiritual life, for my walk with God. And we take this path, and when we end up here, we actually upset with God. And we turn to God and we say, why, Lord? Why have you done this to me? This was my intention. And I ended up here. And we spoke about the fact that most probably God is saying, I don't understand the why you chose this path, and this path took you exactly where it would have. And God is again saying, guys, it's your direction, not your intention, that eventually determines our destination. That determines where we end up at the end. And obviously what we did last week is we gave everyone a key ring, and I encourage you to put that key ring on your key. I have mine on my key. And then that every morning as you make decisions, every day as you make decisions, and you maybe look at your keys and you see that key ring with the principle of the path in it, you remember that it is not my intention. It is the choice that I'm going to make right now. It's the path that I'm going to take right now that would lead me where I want to go. That was last week. Today what we're going to be talking about are mainly two things. One is, how do I know if the current path that I am on will take me where I want to go? So it's the current path that I have for my marriage. How do I know if it's going to take me where I want to go? Or maybe the path that I'm about to choose. In other words, every day, each of us, we are faced with different choices, different paths. The path that I'm about to choose, is it going to take me where I want to go? We're going to take a look at that as number one. And then number two, what am I going to do with the information that I get? So now I need to determine, is this the right path? And when I've made the determination, and I've seen, oh boy, this is where this path will take me, what am I going to do with that information? Because it's incredibly important for us to know this. How do I know who to date? How do I know who the guy or the girl of my future is? How do I know? Should I move in with someone? Should I move in with this guy? Should I move in with this girl? Because moving in together is not just an event, it is a path. It is a choice. How do I know? The investment that I'm about to make, the choices that I make, the way that I spend my money, how do I know? It's all a path that takes me somewhere. And in each of these different scenarios, we need to figure out, number one, am I on the right path? Am I about to take the right path? And what am I going to do with the information? And this is incredibly important because in the world of driving, if you get lost, which seems like several of us have done, you lose maybe a couple of minutes, maybe a couple of hours. But in life, when you get lost, you lose years. And so we don't really have a choice or a different opportunity than to do it right, because none of us want to wake up in our 30s and say, geez, I'm not exactly where I wanted to be. We don't want to wake up in our 50s and say, geez, I wish that when I was 30 I took a different path. Or when I was, we wake up in our 70s and I think, boy, man, if I just in my 50s took a different path, I would just have ended up in a complete different place. We don't have time to dream in one direction and then walk in another direction. And so the question remains, how do I know? There are several ways. We're going to take a look at some of them this morning. Others, time will teach us. But we're going to take a look at specifically three this morning, and then we're going to take a look at what we'll do with that information. How do I know? One way is to study the scriptures. What does the Bible say on this given endeavor or this given path that I'm about to take? Take a look here in Romans 15. Now, I want to put an emphasis on the word here, study the Bible. So not just know of the Bible, not own a Bible, not even just read the Bible, but I need to study the scriptures. I don't have to be a theologian, but I need to study the scriptures on this particular endeavor that I'm thinking about or that I'm currently, the path that I'm currently on. In Romans 15 verse 4 it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us." Now it's to give us direction. "So that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." The Bible was written for a very specific reason. It was not only written in order for us to be able to know and understand what it means to have a relationship with God, but it says it's also there to teach us, to show us the way, to show us the path, to help us to know what to do, when to do, and how to do it. And then through endurance, in other words, continually following it, and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. But that then means that I need to actually study the topic. Meaning, I want a date. I'm looking, not me. I am dating. I've been dating for 11 years, very steadily with my wife. But you're single. I want a date. Now, how do I know what kind of relationship do I need to get involved in, and where will it take me? Go to the scriptures and study it. Don't just roughly think of what you want to hear or what you want to like. We need to go to the scriptures and say, let me take the Bible and let me study what the Bible says in this given topic from any given angle that I can possibly think of. And then I will know through the Word of God whether I'm on the right path or whether I'm about to take the right path. Now, the Bible says several things on that matter. It talks about that we should not be yoked together with unbelievers, because what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? In other words, yoke is obviously married, but why, what the Bible is teaching is, why would I want to date someone, have as a girlfriend, have as a boyfriend, someone who does not love God the way that I do? It just doesn't make sense. Now, if you continue to study the Bible, you would see people that have tried that route. You would see Solomon. He tried that route. And how did that work out for him? It didn't work out too well. Samson, he tried that route. How did that work out for him? It didn't work out that well. So here I am, I'm thinking about dating. I need to go and I say, well, how did it work for Solomon? I'm thinking about dating this guy or dating this girl. They believe in Jesus. They're not fully devoted followers of Christ. They seem like good people, but they're not totally devoted to God. How is this going to work out for me according to the scriptures? The path that I'm about to take, or the path that I'm on, is this a winner according to God's word? Or when it comes to, for instance, the subject of marriage, and I've often, every, I will not even say every year, every couple of months, I go back to this subject matter and I study it in the scriptures and I take a look at what does the Bible say on marriage to me as a husband. And one of the key verses that always jumps out is Ephesians 5 that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So, Werner, love Lisa the way that Christ loved the church. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, it's not rude, doesn't easily get angered, keeps no record of the wrongs, always hopes, always trusts, always believes, love never fails. So, Werner, be patient with your wife. Werner, be kind with your wife. Werner, always trust in your wife. Werner, don't keep record of wrongs. Not that my wife does anything wrong. Werner, don't do that. Love your wife. And so the path that I'm on, I have to ask myself, what I'm currently doing, the amount of time that we are spending connecting, talking, the amount of time that we're just together, that we pray together, that we talk together, the amount of time and effort and heart and passion that I give to my wife, is that? Because if it is, I would go to the destination. Because what destination do we all want to have in our marriages? We want to all have marriages that will blossom. All of us, when we get married, we say, listen, I want to be married for the next 40 years. I don't think any of us say, geez, when I get married, I want to be married for the next 2 years. And we'll take it from there. See how that works out for us. No, we say, man, I want to be married forever. And the fellowship, I was chatting to a couple of brothers and sisters on Wednesday night. And Johnny and Utah, I think it's their 25th wedding anniversary next year. And they were talking about that and they said, it's a record. And then someone else said, listen, you know, these days, 5 years is a record. If you make the 5-year mark, you have a record. None of us want to have the 5-year mark. We all want to have the 40-year mark, the 50-year mark, the till death do us part mark. That is our intention. How do we get there? Husbands, love your wife. That is the path. If I take a different path than that, I'm going to end up there. I'm not going to end up at the 50-year marriage. Wives, no different for you, really. The Bible says a couple of different things, obviously calls us all to love, but I think the one that most probably rings truer for you would be, wives, submit to your husbands. Maybe a different terminology that could bring more clarity around that concept is wives, respect your husbands. If we can change a bit more terminology to make that clearer, wives, do not manipulate. Wives, do not manipulate your husbands. We all want the 50-year marriage. We all want it till death do us part. Manipulation takes you elsewhere. Disrespect, lack of love, takes you elsewhere. So when I want to know what do I do with my marriage, I need to go and I need to study the Bible. And I say, if I'm the man, husband, one of the most important and key things for you to do is love your wife. If you're the wife, one of the most important things for you to do is to be submissive, respectful. Be like the woman of old, Peter says, who has a gentle inner beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. Every day we are faced with those decisions. We all want to be joyful. We all want to have a sense of meaning in our lives. Then again, I need to study the scriptures and say, how do I achieve that sense of meaning? What does the scriptures teach on the subject? And as we study the Bible, it makes it clear. Any given topic. Conflict. I'm having conflict with someone. It could be your spouse, it could be someone in church, it could be someone at work. How do I resolve that conflict? The Bible says a couple of things. Matthew 18, go and speak to the person. Don't go and speak to everyone around the person. Go and speak to the person. Now, if you follow the path and you say, I want to resolve this relationship, I want to have a good relationship with the church and with this person, whatever, that's my intention, and the path that I need to take needs to be the one of the Bible. The same thing. Let no unwholesome, what does it say in Ephesians 5? Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth except that which is helpful to others and would benefit those that are listening. The Bible makes the path very clear, but it's going to take effort from our side. These things are not just going to jump out at us. As we make these decisions in our lives, and I'm sure many of us, we're making decisions right now. Many of us are thinking about our own lives right now. Who are we dating? Who are we interested in? Financial decisions. We're thinking about our marriage. You want to know if you're on the right path or about to take it? Take a look at the scriptures. A second one that could help is get advice from the right people. In Proverbs 11 verse 14, we're going to put this up on the screen because I want us to be able to savor this passage. It says, for a lack of guidance a nation falls, but many advisors makes victory sure. So I'm on a particular path, I'm about to take a particular path, and I want to know where is it going to head, where is it going to take me? For a lack of guidance a nation falls, but many advisors makes victory sure. Meaning, here is a decision that I am about to make. Then I need to ask counsel and advice from it, saying, where do you think this decision will take me spiritually? I'm about to move far away from all the Christians that I know. Where do you think this decision will take me spiritually? I'm about to take this job. I'm about to move house. How do you think this will affect me? I'm about to make this investment. Do you think it will help me? Many advisors makes victory sure. I'm about to, and I know we've been speaking a lot about this over the last couple of weeks. I'm about to buy this house. I'm about to buy this car. Here is my budget. I mean, let's get real and honest here. Here's my budget. Here's what my budget looks like. Do you think I can afford it? My intention is to afford it. My desire is to afford it. I really want it. But that's me. But I also know that I've got these flappy things over my eyes and I can't always see that good. So I want to show you, and it's going to take great humility, I want to show you my budget and I want you to take a look through this, see what you think of this, and tell me what you think. See, when we know and understand the principle of the path, my guess is that we would be asking counsel from many advisors on a very regular basis, because we know that every decision that we make has tremendous consequences, and we know that it's our direction and not our intention that determines our destination. But there is a snag into that scripture. Do you know what the snag is? It's only partially true. Because the scripture is as true as you read it in context with the rest of the Bible. Let me give you another proverb that will make this one more complete. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffer harm. The many advisors, is this anyone? It says, many advisors makes victory sure. But then there's also a proverb that says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So in other words, I can't or should not just ask advice from anyone. I need to ask advice from the right people, and the right people are the wise people. So in other words, I need to say, here is a path that I'm about to take, or here's the path that I'm on, and I want to know, I consider you wise, I want to know what you think, because I know walking with the wise will make me wise, but I know the companion of fools, are you a fool? Because I know that the companion of fools is not going to work out. Now, who's wise? Don't put up your hand. The wise, how do you get wise? Most probably the biggest thing is through experience. We spoke about that last week as well. Why do youth lack judgment? Because they don't have experience. And then specifically experience with spiritual matters. In other words, how does life, the choices that I make in life, how does it influence me spiritually? What effect will it have on me? Those are the wise. Those are the kind of people that I need to be asking questions from. I have often sat with people, and I'm not thinking of anyone particular right now, as I've said last week as well. This has happened so many times, where I sit with someone, and I'm sure people have sat with me and have gone through the same thing, where I sit with someone, things are in bad shape through a bad choice, a sticky path. And then one of the questions that I usually ask, just out of curiosity, is, did you ask any advice on this matter before you chose this particular direction? And the most scary answer that I sometimes then get is, sometimes it's no, and amen, next time ask advice. Sometimes the scary answers that I get is yes. Yes, I did. And usually my next question is, who on earth did you ask? Well, I asked this one, I asked that one, and I said, well, how are they doing in this area? You ask advice from your marriage. What is their marriage like currently? I have no idea. Then why did you ask them? Well, they led me to make this financial decision. How are they doing financially? I don't know, pretty poorly. Well, then why did you ask them? Walk with the wise and you grow wise. Companions of fools suffer harm. You don't have to be perfect to be wise. Actually, it's usually imperfection that leads to wisdom. I've often sat with people, and I recently asked someone this as well, where this particular person made a bad choice. Some time ago, they started missing church services. They started neglecting their Bible study, not reading their Bible differently, and eventually it led down a path that really was destructive for this individual and hurt them deeply. Him and his whole family. But through God's grace and this brother's attitude, he turned a corner and he has repented in a tremendous way and has gotten back on the right path and has learned a tremendous amount of great lessons from this. And I'm so proud of him. But recently I asked him, I said to him, and he said to me, just again, he said, this is where it started. As I look back, I ended up here, as I look back, obviously that was never the intention. This was always the intention. He said, as I look back, I can see this is where I went wrong. I started missing some church services, not connecting with disciples. I started neglecting my Bible study. This was the path that I took, and I never intended to end up here. I wanted to end here, but it took me there, and in many ways it hurt me in such deep ways. And I asked him this. I said, can I want to ask you a favor? Something I want you to pray about. Can I send people to you? In other words, I know several people are busy making these same choices as you did back then. Can I send them to you? Would that be okay with you if I say to them, go and speak to so-and-so. I know he made similar choices back then. And ask him where it took him. And he said, absolutely. I would want to help anyone to avoid the mistakes that I have made. Who's wise? It's people that have learned from experience. You want to date someone that is not devoted to Christ? Go and ask others who have done it and are still faithful today. Ask them, and not in a condemning way. Ask them, I just want to know, how did that work out for you? Let me tell you, they will tell you how it worked out for you. They will tell us, if I can give you any advice, if I can turn back the clock, I will not go in that direction, and I would not encourage you to do the same. So secondly, ask advice from the right people. Do not suffer harm. Ask advice from wise people. Third one. Past experience. Personal past experience. In other words, I'm on this path. I want to know, where is this path going to take me? Or I'm about to take this path and I want to know where it's going to take me. What I need to do is look at personal past experience. Say, let me think about this. Have I gone down this path before? It looks incredibly familiar. That's right. I have. Now let me think back. Where did it take me? Oh, that's the reason why I'm still working my way out of debt. That's right. That's why I'm here today. And heed to the personal counsel. Oh, I took this path and it enriched me spiritually. It enriched me emotionally. Let me take this path again. This is hard to do, but I often have done this myself, said it to myself and said it to others. Sometimes what we must do, as we make these bad choices, who of us has ever made a bad choice? Okay. A couple of us. The others are, might just made a bad choice, but not putting up their hand. We make bad choices. Who of us ever made a bad choice and it really ended up in a bad place? Okay. At that moment, what you should do is take a mental picture of what you look like and what your situation looks like at that time. In other words, I make a bad choice that I get up tomorrow morning, it's cold, I didn't sleep well, I should really want to spend time with God, and I make the choice not to. A couple of days later I do the same thing, a couple of days later I do the same thing, a couple of days later I do the same thing, and before I know it, my marriage is scratchy, I'm making bad decisions, I'm angry, I struggle with impurity, I slander, I gossip, I go back to my old ways. Take a picture of that and what you look like. Then, who of us has ever made a good choice? You were between two roads, and through prayer and through counsel or what have you, you actually didn't know it at that time, but you chose the right way, and then years later or weeks or months later, it paid off and it turned out well. Who of us have ever made a choice like that? Okay, less, but still several. Okay, we need to work on choices here, it seems like it. When you end up at the good place, take a picture. Say, when I spend lots of time with my wife, this is what the picture looks like. When I listen to my wife, this is what the picture looks like. When I don't manipulate my husband, this is what the picture looks like. When I fill my children's love tank, this is what the picture looks like. Now you come to a decision in your life. There is a road. Will I go left or will I go right? Then you need to bring up those two pictures. So tomorrow morning I wake up. I'm tired. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like spending time with God. Picture. Ah, this is where this has led to in the past. The times where I did it, this is where it led to in the past. Where will I go? And the choice becomes more clear from our own personal experience. So, there we have it. Three things. Study the Bible. See what does the Bible say on the topic. Ask other wise counselors, not meaning necessary, therapists, friends, ask wise people, look at personal experience. Then the answer should become clear. But the next question then would be this. What do we do with the information? Oh, the picture is clear. Oh, this is the choice that I should make. Oh, I should be heading in this direction. But what do I then do with that information? In Proverbs 27, and I want us actually to see if we can memorize this scripture today. We're going to practice it together this morning. Proverbs 27 verse 12, because this is our life-changing passage right here, and you're going to see it on the screen. Proverbs 27 verse 12 says, "The prudent sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it." The prudent see danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Let's see if we can say that together. The prudent, say it with me, the prudent sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. I kind of feels like you're at school, but it will pay off. This is a path. Okay, let's do it again. The prudent sees danger and takes refuge. The simple keeps going and suffer for it. So, the prudent, they see danger. The prudent, they study the scriptures. They ask the counsel from friends. They look at past experience. They see danger. They say, uh-oh, the path that I'm about to take or the path that I'm on is not going to take me where I want to go. And they take refuge. They take action. The simple keep going and suffer for it. Two people, two responses, two outcomes. The wise person is the one who understands, the prudent, that life is connected. That there is a cause and an effect. That there is an actual relationship between yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The wise person continually asks themselves these questions. In light of what I've studied in the scriptures, in light of the advice that my wise friends have given me, in light of past experiences and future dreams, what is the best thing for me to do right now? It says, and they take refuge. In other words, they take action. They do something about it. They say, listen here, this is my intention. I've seen according to the Bible that I'm actually moving in that direction. I've listened to wise friends and seen that with my children currently and the amount of time that I'm spending in front of the TV instead of with them, I'm heading in that direction. With the person that I'm currently interested in dating, I'm heading in that direction. By the amount of time that I'm spending in my Bible, I'm heading in that direction. The prudent sees, they see danger, they see red flashes, and they take action. They change course and they say, let me go and take a different path. Let me take a path that will take me to where I want to be. But not the simple. Not the naive. The naive thinks that miraculously life is disconnected. They think that today, or when we are naive, we think that today is today, yesterday is yesterday, and tomorrow is tomorrow. The fact that this has happened four times before is irrelevant. The fact that I've walked this path, the fact that the path is worn so many times that I've walked it, and the fact that it's always gone to a different direction than my intention is irrelevant. Somehow, I'm going to have intention A, I'm going to take path B, and something miraculous is going to happen, and I'm going to jump right over to this side, and I'm going to be happy, and everything is going to work out. And so what do? They keep going. The prudent sees danger, takes refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it. Throughout my life, because of the nature of what I do for a living, being a church minister, people often ask me advice on issues. And the funny thing to me through the years have been that people come and they ask me advice on something. They say, listen, I just want your advice on something. And I say, sure, shoot. Let's see if I can help. I certainly don't know everything, but if I have experience in this area, either personally, or I've seen many others walk this path, I can maybe tell you where it leads. They ask advice. I give them the advice. The advice is contrary to what they've hoped for or the decision they've already made in their hearts. And then they argue with me. Now, I'm not necessarily right. But why are you asking me if you argue with me as soon as I've given you the advice? And you give them the advice, and through the years, and I'm sure we've seen this with our children, you give them the advice, and what do? They keep going. And what happens? And they suffer for it. The simple keeps going and suffers for it. Do you know that it's not a good idea to miss church all the time or regularly? Do you know that it's not a good idea to just read your Bible, be with God as haphazardly as you're doing? Do you know that it's not a good idea to spend most of your time in front of the TV and not connect with your kids? Do you know that? Do you know that he's not a Christian and you want to have a relationship with him? Uh-huh. Do you know that it's not a good idea to flip through the TV channels late at night because there's dodgy movies on it? Uh-huh. And what are you going to do about it? Nothing. Somehow it's just going to work out. Somehow, when we're in that frame of mind, we think that we are magically going to break the principle of the path. But you can't. The principle of the path can break you. But we cannot break the principle of the path. We said in a message like this, and my guess is that some of us, and I've often done this, maybe did it last week, and you think, you listen and you say, good point! Man, I feel so inspired. I feel so challenged. Man, that's right. Man, that's awesome. Good stuff. And we even feel close to God. We feel, God, it's not Him. It's you. You are connecting to me. You are speaking to my heart directly. And we get in our cars and we drive home and we do nothing. And next week we come back. And we sit and we listen again and we think, man, that sounds familiar. Man, that is awesome. Man, I really need to be making those decisions. Yes, I need to be getting up tomorrow morning. Yes, I need those time with my kids. Yes, I need that time with my wife. Yes, I need to make those right decisions. And again, we do nothing. And we even get frustrated. I've often heard people say to me, when we do series, why do you keep on saying the same thing again and again? And I say, well, do you feel what was said was right? Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Have you heeded to it? No. Well, that's why we're saying it again and again. So that we can take action. So that our lives can change. Brothers, sisters, there is one word that can change your life today. And that word is action. God has done His bit. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word. He's given us wise counselors. He's given us past experiences to see, is this the good path? Is this the right path? The picture is clear. But now He's saying to us, take action. I want to encourage you this morning. Take action. Some of us are in relationships that are not healthy. Take action. We are not spending time with God the way that we would really want to. Take action. Because the prudent sees danger, takes refuge, takes action, and it works out for them. Many advisors, when we listen to them, makes victory sure. And the book of James says, when we look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, continues to do so, not forgetting what we have heard, but doing it, we will be blessed in what we do. God wants to bless you, friends, but then we need to take action. Amen.